Blog Talk Radio.
What if God was one of us? What if God was just a dumb like one of us? Open for love in the club like one of us. Trying to make it off the sun like one of us.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You guys are on live at Out the Gate with Pammy Gates and my special guest co-host, Miss Desi Baby.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Buenos dias, buenos dias, buenos dias. How y'all doing today?
All right,
how you doing
Desi,
today, Miss Pammy?
I'm tired, child, I'm tired. But I am full of energy and ready for this show to begin. So the first topic of my mind today is I want to talk about friendships.
Okay.
And what's wrong with friendships of today.
Okay.
I keep seeing a lot of, you know, ride or die for my girl type friendship posts on Facebook and IG. But then you turn around and you see these same friends, not everybody, but some of them, these same friends messing with this person's man, or they getting into arguments because this person did them low down, and they spilling all the secrets of the friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dirtiest little secrets you could think of is all being spilled out for the world to see.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's a hurt thing, or do you think it's just being spiteful, trying to gain some new views and likes?
I think that friendships aren't based on today, I would say. Today, friendships aren't based on the core values. It's not based on trust. It's not based on true feelings. I feel like a lot of friendships today that I see floating around Facebook is they're based on my girl going out with me, or we at the club, or it's more of a materialistic friendship than it is a friendship from the heart. I think they spill because there's something that one friend is doing that the other one can't. It's just a bunch of BS to me. My daughter's going through friendship bullshit right now. And every time the same girl, you know, I wish she would just leave the girl alone. However, this same girl would always be my friend, my friend, my friend. Let's go out, let's go out, let's go out. When it's her payday weekend, which her payday weekend, she works that Saturday. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And then next weekend, it's the friend's payday weekend, and it's her work weekend. Oh, we can't go. I got to work tomorrow. So it's not a give and take friendship. It's a take, take, take on coming from one end.
Okay, okay. I see that. I see that. We have a caller on the line who wants to give their opinion, so I'm about to bring her on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, caller. Hey.
Hey, caller.
Hey, baby.
I think the problem with today's friendships is the fact that they're not actual friends. These days, females have one thing in common when they build their so-called friendships, and that's the other girl that neither one of them likes.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I totally agree.
Yeah, so I think it's more so along the lines of, okay, I don't like her, you don't like her, so we can get together and we can talk about her. But when things hit the fan and it's time to actually be a friend and they realize they're not actually friends, they start telling each other business.
Oh, yeah,
I have
free
people,
shots and everything.
Yeah, they go to saying how you were borrowing their clothes and shoes, and you ain't have to tell how homeless you was at one point and everything. It's not that many real people left in the world, because I have people that I was friends with that I'm no longer friends with whose secrets are still secrets.
Because there were secrets left.
Right.
It goes back to the old saying, if a dog will bring a bone, he'll take a bone. So, in friendship, you know, friends are friends. They solid. But today's friends, they just bringing a bone so they can take a bone. They sit up and talk to you about her, and then they go to her and sit up and talk about you. So, it's just ridiculous.
Timothy Leslie Templeton.
It is.
Are you listening to me?
So, y'all think that it is, what I'm looking for, it's just because of the now. Okay. Like, once your time is over, that's it. We don't need it no more, right?
Mm-hmm. I can totally agree with that. The longest standing friendship that I have is, I met this girl in 1993. We have never had any kind of falling out. Anything that we disagreed on, we got over the same day. And she didn't take it to another one of her friends, and I didn't take it to another one of my friends. Whatever we disagreed on, we got through it that day. We didn't go to sleep with it. And that's a problem. Today they sleep on it and they doing it, and they build something out of nothing, and it just blows up.
Okay, I could agree with that. I could see where the pride thing comes in on that. Mm-hmm. And switching gears a little bit on that, do you think it's the same thing in relationships?
Possibly. It could be, because a lot of relationships lack communication. They're either afraid of what will happen or what won't happen, so they just don't say anything.
I disagree with you on that.
Okay.
I don't want to say it's a communication. I don't want to say it's a communication thing. I think it really is a pride thing. Pride is, it's like the basis for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to show you how I really feel because, you know, my pride won't let me. My pride won't let me pick up the phone and say I'm sorry. You know, my pride won't let me tell you I love you or repair friendships that, like you said, may be damaged over nothing.
Mm-hmm. And that, again, pride is causing the lack of communication. You know, so it plays into the hand of communication. If you're so proud that you won't be able to apologize or bring whatever it is to the table, it's causing a lack of communication.
Now, that is true.
So,
I wanted to get that off my chest a little bit because, you know, I seen
yeah.
a post. It kind of upset me a little bit because you see people post stuff, and I'm like, that was just your girl. A little bit. Like, you know, it ain't really any of my business, but, you know, that was your girl, and now you spilling all her secrets about how her house ain't clean, her kids, this, that, and the third. But just last week,
yeah.
y'all was homies.
Mm-hmm. Because what they don't understand today is ride or die is forever. Ride or die ain't till mad day. Ride or die is forever. And when today's society uses ride or die like we use dishwashing liquid, you know,
it's gone
today and gone tomorrow. You just watch it go down the drain, you know, and I don't know, it's beyond me, you know. I pride my friendship. Anyone who I call a friend is a friend. It's not going to be today we're friends, tomorrow I'm on Facebook slandering you.
Right, okay.
You know, if we piss off at each other, fine. I'm going to send you a text first and fill you out, then I'm going to call you. If you don't respond to my text fast enough, you're getting a call. Like, what the fuck's going on? What's up? Let's get this.
And if they don't respond to your call, how often
I'm not going to constantly reach out, but I'm going to reach out. I'm going to send a message. If you don't answer the phone, I'm going to send you a voicemail. If you don't respond to the voicemail, I'm going to try again, but I'm not going to continuously call, because I feel like I need to give you your space at that point. Let you get over it. But I'm
okay.
not going to take it to Facebook and be like, oh, well, such and such, we fell out over something stupid, and now she's being stupid and don't want to answer the phone. That's childish.
Right, that is very childish, but how long do you let that go?
Hey,
I mean,
it
could take years. Are you willing to say 5 years down the line that we can be back friends again when, you know, this little disagreement, I let you have your space to sort this out, but it took you 5 years to sort this out?
Well, to me, to Desiree, I'm gonna always be your friend. Now, if you're not my friend, that's something totally different. That's your conscience you need to clear. If we're friends, if I gave you the friend title, we're gonna be friends for life. You know. Now, if you do me dirty, then that's something different. If you did something dirty to me, then our friendship is done. And when I say did something dirty, I mean went behind my back and done something that's real foul. I'm not talking about, something as simple as she borrowed $5 from me and didn't pay it back. You know, you would have to do something real dirty to me, like sleep with my man, do something to my kids, key my car, some stupid shit like that. But, you know, I don't fall out over silly shit. And again, it probably goes with along with my age. I don't know. I've grown over the years. But I've never had a falling out with anyone over something simple. Not even an associate.
See, I have.
Yeah, I don't.
And I would like to say I've grown with age, but I've fallen out with people over trivial shit. Mainly because my feelings were hurt.
And that plays a part in it. Like, if your feelings are hurt, then it's beyond trivial.
But when I think back over it now, it was trivial.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, like you said, it went beyond trivial for me. But that could be because I'm an emotional person. So, you know, like, once I feel like you step on my toes, at that point, I'm just like, fuck you.
Exactly. You know?
Especially if
and
I try to tell you what you did wrong and you like, I'm overreacting.
Well, and two, the other person played into that. Rather than tell you that you were overreacting, they should have said, hey, I didn't mean it that way. This is what I meant. Or I'm sorry you took it that way, but I meant it this way. Rather than saying, oh, you overreacting, because that too would piss me off. You know, don't tell me I'm overreacting when you're not the one who ended up with hurt feelings, you know. And, again, back to the old saying, hurt feelings hurts feelings. So you hurt my feelings, I'm going to hurt yours. Or I'm just going to cut you off. That'll hurt you worse than what you've done to me. Because you know that I'm a good friend.
Yeah, blocking a person will definitely hurt them more than.
Yeah, especially. You know what kind of friendship we had. So if I cut you off, you'll be hurt just as bad as I am.
But then sometimes they don't care.
That's because they're not your friend.
It could be that they're just an emotional friend, not making excuses. But I've been in that scenario where I've been called emotional because somebody blocked me and I was just like, I don't care. But I really considered that person a friend. I just didn't care that they blocked me.
Well, you know, different strokes for the different folks.
I have to agree with that one. Everybody is different.
You know, I'm a Cancer, so by nature, I'm emotional.
Oh, you're overly emotional anyway, so, yeah, okay.
But I'm not your typical Cancer. I really have a I don't give a fuck attitude, and that goes for anybody and everybody. You know, it took years, mind you, for me to get to this point. However, I am no longer emotionally attached to, because of all the shit that I've been through in my life. It doesn't allow me to allow anyone to attack my core, you know. Well, I'm not going to say anyone, but I hold people, the people that I hold near and dear to my heart, they know that I'm emotional. They know that little shit does hurt my feelings, but they also know that I'm going to check their ass about it. You know, I'm not check per se, but I'm definitely going to say, hey, when you did this to me, it hurt me. I'm definitely going to let, you're going to be aware of what you done, why, how you done it, and how it affected me.
Okay. But anybody outside of that circle,
outside of that,
know.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care, you know. And to a point where I love my family. I do. But I'm to a point where I will cut them off before I allow them to keep attacking my core. Because when they attack my core, they're affecting my mental. And when they affect my mental, it affects everybody around me.
Okay. So speaking of your core, at your core, I can assume it's your children, like most people that have children. It's at your core.
Mm-hmm.
It's your children. It's if you have a significant other, your significant other. And your parents, if you're close to your parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a few chosen close friends.
I have siblings. I'm a child of, well, a child of eight.
Right, your siblings and a few close friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So say your core got attacked by somebody outside of that circle in a woman-to-woman scenario. You know, hey, Barbara, this is Shirley. And in your defense, you trust your significant other. You trust
mm-hmm.
what he say. Baby, I'm not doing nothing. I don't know who this chicken head is. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where she came from. And
mm-hmm.
you say you stoop to that level of you going through phones, you going through emails, you doing all of that, and you don't find nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep getting these woman-to-woman messages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an attack on your core.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you don't give a fuck about because you haven't found anything? And let's just say your man was just good enough at hiding the shit from you. Do you address that attack because it's somebody? Do you address the attack, I'm asking, because you said if it's outside of your core, you don't give a fuck.
Well, I'm going to address the attack. However, I hope the attack isn't anonymous, because an anonymous attack comes from a coward. If you're going to tell me that my SO is doing this or doing that, make sure that I can check him in front of you. But if you do it anonymously, I'm going to ask him about it. He says that he ain't doing shit. I do my research, don't find anything. What else can I do? You know, how can I approach it? How can we solve something that we can't find a problem to? You know, if it's an anonymous attack and I don't find anything, how can I hold on to it? That's being spiteful.
But I'm not talking about spite. I'm talking about just the concept of what we're discussing. You said if it's outside,
mm-hmm.
I don't care. So say it's not an anonymous attack. And, you know, she publicly let you know who she is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we finna have a discussion. I'm definitely, simply because they're attacking, at this point you've attacked me and someone else that I love, that I care about. So we all need to talk about this and find out what's going on, because at that point, I give a fuck.
Okay. So there is a point where an outside person could reach you enough that you would give a fuck to address what they're saying to you.
Yes. There is a point, but, you know,
it's not many. There is a point to I will to ruffle my feathers, I'd say. You know.
Okay.
But certain things I'll just sweep it under the rug. You know, like recently, we're personal friends, so you know what I've been through recently.
I do.
And I didn't have the support that I needed. I had gotten to a point where I was getting to a great depression, but my SO shook me. He's like, you know, babe, what happened to that? I don't give a fuck. The people who care about you, they're here. The people who aren't, oh well. You know? So I had to get to a point where I had to say I didn't give a fuck about the core. You know? However, it wasn't I didn't give a fuck to a point where I didn't care if they lived or died. It was just I didn't give a fuck that they didn't give a fuck. Because I was allowing it to attack my emotional state and my mental state, and it was taking me to a dark place. So I went into my little box. I went into my bubble and allowed only a certain people in, you know. And eventually I came out of my bubble, you know. I allowed the same people back in based off of the value of love, the value of family.
But that value is not... That value, in my opinion, cannot take away from the fact that when I needed you at my most, when I was at my worst, and I needed you, you couldn't be there for me. And
mm-hmm.
you were part of my core.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
so
like
now you're
that
limited.
Disturbs your peace and your energy to allow that energy back into that.
Mm-hmm. And that's because why it's limited. Because
so it's a limited energy. So it's like, okay, I'll deal with you when I want to deal with you, or is it like,
when
okay,
I
we'll talk if you call, or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll talk if you call. We'll talk if you reach out. I'm only going to give you so much because I know what you can do with my all. I know what you can possibly do if I was to give you my all again. Because first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me.
But why even allow that opportunity for it to possibly happen again? I know you say it won't, but
no,
in my
I don't
personal
say it
experience,
won't.
You know, to let those same people, that same energy back in, you're essentially allowing and opening yourself up to be played once again.
To answer that, it is because of the person. And who they are to me. Not a friend, not a brother, not a sister, but a parent. You know, people who hold, I guess, I can't say high rank, because if they were high rank, they wouldn't treat me the way they did. I guess it's people that I hold near to me, you know, that
okay.
I want a relationship with. However, it's to a point where if I feel like we get into back to that negative point, back to that dark place, I'll cut them off in a heartbeat. You know, before I allow them to attack me from the outside in, I will cut them off. You know?
Oh, okay. That makes more sense, you know, when you explain it like that from a personal standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get your take, because I voiced my opinion all week on this, on Miss Khloe Kardashian. You know, she had her baby. Congrats, Khloe. You know, we love you, Karma Kardashian
mm-hmm.
out there. If you were her, now that shows a significant other attacking your core. I love you. I've loved you for a year. Everybody in the world know I love you. And then here we go with TMZ and the evidence. You know, it's there
That's
for the
some
world
exposure
see.
For your ass. That's exposure, like.
But that's another core thing because, you know, as I'm not a fan of hers, you know, but I do read the gossip blogs just like the next person.
Well, I'll tell you this. I read a lot of gossip. However, I don't follow the Kardashians. I read a lot of the gossip blogs. However, that scenario, in her situation, I would say that she already knew what was going on. When a lot of women know that they're being cheated on when they're being cheated on, they I'm not saying all of us do, but we have an inkling about it. But when we go to our significant other and they're like, oh, no, baby, I'm not doing that. I would never do that to you. We know. And we choose not to address it. We choose to keep let it go on and on and on. Because I had a situation with my kid's father. I knew he was out there in the street doing me dirty. You know. But I allowed him to stay for security reasons. Because I was to a point where he had me believing that I wouldn't be able to move on with him because I bear his four children. You know, no one's going to want you. I was at a point where I started believing the shit he was telling me. So for Miss Chloe, of course she don't need him financial-wise, but we don't know where her mental state is.
It sounds like a self-esteem issue.
It does. It does. To me, I feel like the reason she's dealing with all that bullshit is because she has low self-esteem.
Low self-esteem, okay. So you don't think that it's actual true love on her end?
It could be. She could actually love the guy, you know, and now that she has a baby, she's like, I want to do this for my family. I love him enough to deal with his bullshit for family values, which are next to nothing with him out here doing the most. But in her eyes, you know, she may not see it like we see it. She can't. She don't see the situation as we see it because she's on the inside. But us as the world, we on the outside looking in, and we see all the flaws that she either refused to see or don't see.
So would you agree that the women that are saying, oh, she need to leave or she's stupid for staying, some of them, not all of them, would you say that they go through those same situations and can't see that their shit stinks too?
A lot of us do. A lot of us do. A lot of us are going through the same shit that she's going through. The only difference is the cameras are following her. They're not following us.
So it's easier for us to pass judgment.
It's easier for us to pass judgment because our shit is not in the spotlight. However, everyone around you sees the same thing that the world sees about the Kardashians. You know, and we have friends that say, girl, this is going on, that's going on, this is going on. I saw him over here, I saw him over there. But because they're either single or happily in a relationship, we refuse to take advice from them because they don't know shit, quote unquote. You don't know what
but
I'm
is
going
it,
through.
I don't, in certain situations, I don't think that we feel, certain women feel, that it's their place. My
well,
life is not your life, whether you're a part of it or not.
Me as a woman, I love my friends. So I will tell you what I see. And if you blow me off the first time, I know not to tell you again. You know, I know that you're going to deal with it in your own way. And I'm going to be right there by your side through it all, through the bullshit that he's putting you through. Through the to the end, you know, if you decide to keep putting up with the bullshit, I'm just going to be there, you know, for you when you need a shoulder to cry on, when you need a listening ear. And I'm not going to say, well, I told you so, because friends don't, they don't drag you through the mud. They allow you to go through what you need to go through in order to get where you need to be.
Right, but how much of a friendship do you agree could survive something like that? You know, repeatedly showing up crying on the shoulder. You know he ain't shit. I know he ain't shit. The world know he ain't shit. But you keep going back. You keep going back. You keep going back. At some point in a friendship, don't you say, you know, I got to let you get your shit together before I can be there for you 100% again.
I was that girl, so I can't say that. I can't say how much I would take as a friend who's on the outside looking in now. I can't say because I was that girl. I was the girl who was calling my friend. I was the girl who was like, oh, no, you're lying. I was the girl who went through the shit, knowingly went through the shit. You know, I didn't have proof, but I knew. I had a feeling that this kind of shit was going on. And when someone pointed it out, I was to a point where I was just comfortable in my relationship. I loved my children's father. I loved the family because he was a good father. He sucked as a fucking boyfriend, but he was a great father to his kids. And today I'm just like, well, he wasn't such a great father to the kids because he treated their mom like shit. You know, but being there for them when they needed him, he would feed them, he would bathe them, he would do everything that a father would do to the with the kids. But he treated me like shit. You know, so I can't say how long you would deal with it or you should deal with it because my best friend stuck it out with me. Here we are 25 years later, you know. So... and I can call her today with anything, and I don't have to worry about her putting that shit on Facebook. You know, we've been friends long before social media. So,
I want to clarify. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you know you should turn your back on friends. I'm asking from a hypothetical sense, mm-hmm. and this goes back to you know our conversation first starting on the wishy-washy friendships of today. Like, how long mm-hmm. should you? How long would a friend that you have today stick it out with you? That's where I was going with that. I wasn't trying to say, you know, turn your back on a friend because, you know, as a person, I know I've probably done some things to my friends and they've been like, this bitch, I want to choke her, but yet they stayed in my corner because I know I've done mm-hmm. that for people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure I could call, you know, a couple of my friends today, like, if I had a dude and I thought he was doing wrong, like, I just want to go stab him up and my friend's going to help me hide the body.
Well, so. But you already know it. I'm headed to motherfucking Tennessee on the next thing smoking.
But, you
already
you know, my question
that's
was
where
hypothetical,
I am.
And I do think about things
say.
Like that.
I mean, a friend is going to be there. A real friend is going to be there regardless. She may tune your ass out because she's been heard the story a million times, but she's going to be there to at least allow you to speak your piece.
Right. Okay. That got a little touchy there. I felt my mm-hmm. heart start racing, y'all. I don't know. Friendships is just one of them subjects where I get really impassioned about. Like last night, you know, when we were having the conversation about kids and y'all were talking about Black Beach and then we got on the subject of child support, those are just one of the things, you know, that I'm very impassioned about. So,
girl, I don't believe in child support. That's why I told you. I totally
what?
Agree. I agree with you. I do not believe in putting a man on child support. Why do I have to force you to take care of what's rightfully yours? You know? And 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get the full child support anyway, especially if you received anything from the state. They're going to get their cut. So you're making this man pay $300 a month or $600 a month, and you're getting $50 a damn week. You know,
that's
I don't
true.
Believe
that's true
in
a certain extent, but look at it like this. Like, yes, I freely admit I don't believe in child support. However, if I am forced to go to the state and say that I need food stamps, that I need cash assistance, that I need medical to be able to provide the basic needs of my kids, even though I'm out here working
mm-hmm.
2 jobs, 3 jobs, and I'm paying all the bills and I'm doing all of this, and they go after him for the child support, I'm not going to turn it away.
Yeah,
I did. I
mean,
at one
I agree
point,
with
but now
you at
you
that
know, now
time,
that I really, now that I think
agree.
About it, it ain't no turning away no
agree.
More.
I can agree. However, I feel like it's their loss. You don't want to be a part of this child's life. And like I said, I wanted my kid's father to be a part of their lives. The financial
but
aspect.
If child support makes them not be a part of their life, then he wasn't really no good to begin with. Not saying your kid's dad
no.
probably thought like that. But a lot of men do think like that. Oh, you getting my money, you getting my $25, my whatever you getting. I don't need to be there every day.
No,
I don't need to pick
not,
up the phone and call.
No, that's not where I was going with it.
Oh,
I'm
my
saying,
bad. I'm sorry.
I was saying I would rather have them physical than financial. I would rather you pick your kid up every week during the summer, during the holidays, than to give me $50 a week. You know, and what you said yesterday about dropping your son off for the 2 weeks and it wound up being 2 days, I was livid. I wanted to call back into the show and go ham.
On me?
No, on him. What do you mean you can't do it? I've been doing it for how many years? You know? You can't get them to school because you got to get up an hour early? What do you mean? You know, I've been doing this shit for years without you. What's the problem? You can't be a man because at this point you're just being a man and being a parent. So I get real touchy when it comes to children and absent parents, whether it be the mother or the father. And the girl who was bitching about paying that extra child support, I had steam coming out of my head. My mom was like, you need to calm down. You need to calm down. I'm like, that's the topic, Mom. The thing is, she said that the child was ungrateful. She was doing everything she should have done. You're damn right you was doing everything you should have done. You're going to have to take care of this child until she's old enough to take care of herself. And then at that point, you're going to have to be emotionally invested because she's still going to need you beyond child support. So if you're there mentally about finances, what are you going to do when she's older and she needs your advice?
But she won't come to her for advice.
Exactly. She's not going to come to her. And she created that. She's creating that now. You know, it starts at home, whether you in the same home or not. A single parent is a single parent. The absent parent is the absent parent. So it's up to them to create that relationship. That was some bullshit. I'm still mad about that.
But on the absent parent note, that brings me to another topic I want to throw out there on the table. The bitterness, not the bitter parent, the baby mama that got the baby daddy doing everything under the sun for their kid and still bitter because he won't be with her. I'm talking about the bitterness that could possibly be instilled in your children from the bitterness of the parent because that other parent wasn't there.
I do not bash my kid's father. Now, to my girlfriends, yes. To my children, no.
No, I'm not talking about bashing them, like, you know, bashing your baby dad. I'm talking about the scenario of raising your kids. And I've seen it firsthand. You know, the absent parent's not there. They're not providing. They're not doing anything. And single moms, you know, raise their daughters to believe that they don't need a man for shit. And in certain instances, you don't need a man for everything. But then, you know,
like
they turn around and they baby their sons, and then their sons end up being like the man that they didn't want them to be like and do the same thing to other women.
Because we never popped our titty out their mouth. That's not, and I can agree. I see where you're going. And I feel like as a parent, as a mother of four, I have two girls and two boys. I've never taught my girls that they didn't need a man, because the reason why there is many women on this earth, because everyone has a partner. Everyone has a partner. Whether we are with them today or if God's molding them later, for us later, we have a partner out there somewhere. I did not hold my boy's hand because the world would eat them alive. The world will eat them alive. They'll go out there into the world after they're out on their own and they wouldn't know which direction to take. I needed them to be men. I couldn't raise them to be men. I could raise them to be my idea of a man. But I allowed my partner to play that role, to teach them how to be men. Because I can't. I couldn't do it. I can teach them to be my idea of a man, but I'm a woman. So my idea of a man may not be what a man really is, you know? I don't do the bitterness, you know, and I had my first child when I was 14. I had to learn quickly how to be a parent early. So,
I feel you. You know, I've been a mom since I was 14 myself. My son about to be 18. And, you know, when I look back over all the mistakes that I've made, you know, I try not to repeat those with my younger three children, but I do think about the one time that I had a conversation. I had it with an older lady in my family, and we were talking about, it was something she saw on TV, and, you know, the lady said, "I don't need a man because I can teach my son how to be a man." And I think I was in my early 20s, and for me, even then, it was like foreign. Like, how do you teach him how to be a man? Have you been a man in a previous life? Like, you know, do you pee standing up? Like, help me understand, how do you teach your son how to be a man?
A woman cannot
teach a boy how to be a man. And then you create within your daughter that concept of, you don't need a man for shit.
I support
feminine women, you know, all day. Feminists, go ahead, do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But me personally, I know I can't do everything a man can do.
I would never attempt
to do everything a man can do.
Hell no.
And I would never
raise
my daughters
women
to believe that they don't need, you know, you don't ever want to have to need anybody but your parents, of course, because they raised you in. They are your guiding systems as you grow older.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to certain instincts in life, there are certain things that a man is supposed to do, that a man needs to do, that in my opinion, and this is from a female perspective, he's not a man if he don't do.
Of course. I totally agree. And it goes back to my college years, in my psych class. You know, you have a partner. You guys, your kids grow old and they leave. That man or that woman is going to be your support system when your children are grown and gone. We need, well, I more so want my man, and I need him for certain things. But I want him overall. I definitely need them for certain things. So I would never say to a woman, "Girl, I don't need a man." Yeah, I could take care of myself financially, you know. But what, when the finances are gone, who's going to be there with you to share your happiness? Your friends? Oh, because they're going home tonight. When all the partying and the fun is over, they're going home. Who are you going to have to go home to? Who can you sit down and discuss openly certain things with that you won't have to worry about besides your partner? You know, I need a man. I want one and I need one. Personally, me, Desi Baby, needs a man. And I would never tell my girls that they don't need a man, and I have not raised my boys to believe that they shit don't stink. Because if you do certain things to a woman, you're going to lose her. You know?
And karma plays a big hand in that. Like the
huge.
The things that we see as trivial, or that, you know, we allow our sons to believe that are okay in certain instances, not all the time, eventually comes back to bite them in the ass, because those are the seeds that we have sown. And then we're sitting there looking like, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why this keeps happening. Because we're not realizing, you know, that we're reaping the harvest of what was planted.
Oh, yeah. You're reaping
and
what you sow, you sow what you grow.
And I don't want to say that you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not praising. And I know it may sound like from the conversation that we're praising and giving a lot of credit to men out there, because it's men who raise children on their own too. So it would be wrong to take away from that instance and, you know, to think about it from a single male parent perspective, who's, you know, a good question got brought up, you know, how can a man teach his daughter how to be a woman? And I think that goes along the same lines, or I feel that it goes along the same lines, that a woman can't teach her son to be a man, because there are certain things that you lack in both. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, you know, women don't do a good job teaching their sons to be great gentlemen, you know, to treat a woman like this, to do this, to be steadfast, to be strong. Those are female qualities all day. Women are strong as hell. We get out here and we do, and we make shit happen with or without help, because we have to. So it's instilled in us. It's a part of our DNA, and we pass that on to our children.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the same thing for a man. He will teach his daughter how to be strong, and if he is a open-minded man, you know, he will teach her how to be a good, productive individual.
Mm-hmm.
But she will still need some sort of female guidance for her womanly things, you know.
Yes.
Not saying that a man can't handle a girl going on her period, or a woman can't handle her son getting his first wet dream. But sometimes I think those things are better talked about coming from maybe a male perspective and a female perspective versus one perspective.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because I'm going to say this, and it's kind of personal. I'm just going to put it out there, though. The first time that my son ever came, well, the way our apartment was set up, my room was on one side of the apartment. The living room separated the other three bedrooms, and we were all out in the living room watching television, and my oldest son came out, and he had a Woody, and I was like, ah, so I started screaming, because I didn't know what to say, I didn't know what to do, and Les was like, babe, I got it, I'll talk to him about it, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. So I'm guessing it was his first wet dream, you know, or it was that dream that caused the Woody. So at that point, I was thrown for a loop. As a woman, what do I say to a boy? You know, like I said, there's certain things that we can't teach our boys, and certain things that men can't teach their daughters. You know, and I'm glad I didn't have to have that conversation. I'm glad that I had a man there for that conversation. Because
and on the other side of that,
to shy away.
True.
It seems to shy
away. On the
other
side of that, I've been in that situation. You know, I've not had that male presence to talk to my son about the proverbial birds and the bees. I hate that saying. Lord, I hate it. Just, you know, let's just have the sex talk.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't have a man do that for me. I had to sit down and pull up my panties and do it for myself. And I'm not going to lie. Like, he got to asking questions, and it threw me for a loop because I don't know what a man feels when he's having sex. I know what I feel when
right.
I'm having sex.
I mean,
I don't know.
I
don't know honestly what a man feels. I can speculate all day, but is my speculation good speculation?
Right. And that's one of the hardest conversations that a woman or man has to have with the opposite sex child. That's one of the hardest conversations that they have to have. You know, it was easy for me to sit down and talk to the girl. The only conversation that I ever had with the boys, hey, I'm going to need you to use two condoms, one for diseases and one for babies. In case that first one pop, you safe on the second. You know, and
I can't with you right now. Like,
I'm
sorry.
That was the best conversation that I had with them as far as having sex. I'm just glad that Mr. R was there to have that conversation. Because, I mean, mind you, I have a heap of brothers. It's just me and my sister out of the eight of us. So we have six brothers. I've seen the girls coming and going. But, again, I don't know what the hell they felt when they had sex. I know that they would come out and start talking to each other and high-fiving each other and this, that, and the third, but they felt, you know. So I couldn't explain that to the boys. But, yes, girl, I don't know. Every time I see a woman posting, I don't need a man, it bothers me.
Now, I wouldn't say that it bothers me. I just have my own personal feelings on it.
It bothers me.
Like you said, it's more of a want than a need because, you know, I know a lot of women, including myself, who, you know, have got out here and did everything that we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, maybe for a sexual urge, okay, yeah, maybe I want a man. I don't want a toy. I don't want them plastic. I want to feel something real.
Right.
You know. And in the same token, you know, I try not to. At least I want to believe maybe in my nativity that they are saying they don't need a man, maybe because they're angry or this, that, and the third, you know. And in some instances, like I said, you don't need a man. It does become more of a want, but I think there are certain situations, especially certain situations in dealing with children, if you have that opportunity to give your child, you know, the opposite sex perspective, from a good perspective, though, you know, not just any old willy-nilly man that you find in the street bringing into their life. No, I'm not saying that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make a difference, and sometimes it does help. Not all the time, because there's plenty of kids that come from two-parent households that have a mother and a father who are just out here fucked up, like kids that come from single-parent homes. You know, everybody has their hiccups. I'm just saying in certain instances that, you know, it's nice to see when it does actually work. And, again, we're talking from a perspective standpoint because I'm speaking from, you know, my personal perspective just like you are.
Right. Yes. I agree, you know. And as a woman, coming from my point of view, I can get under my hood and change my oil. I can change an alternator. I can change the starter. I can change a tire.
Ooh.
You know,
ooh,
I can do all this stuff. So as far as that, I don't need a man for that. I get out
now,
here
see,
and make
I do.
My own fun. I don't
I
need
do.
A man for that. You know, but
I know
I've learned how to
do oil. I've learned how to, you know, change my own tire and all of that. But I won't.
I mean, I will if I have to, but, you know.
I won't even pump my own gas, for real. Like, if my son ain't there, I've had instances, like, before I moved from Ohio, I lived in this small city, and we had a gas station that was, like, 5 minutes away from the house. And don't laugh at me when I say this, because this is me being honest. I literally would go to the gas station, and depending on who was working, one of the men behind the counter would literally come outside and pump my gas for me because
no
they knew
sucker,
I did not
huh?
like to pump gas.
Girl, look, I don't know. I'm addicted to the smell of gas, so I don't mind pumping my own gas. But, yeah, I can do all of that stuff on my own, but do I want to do all that stuff on my own? No. I need my man. So, you know, it goes back to needing and wanting. You know, a lot of women want the idea. They just want the idea of a man. You know, they just want a body. I want his mental. I need his mental. So I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't get when women say they don't need a man because they can do this for themselves, they can do that for themselves. But if someone else can do it for you, a masculine, good-smelling, nice smile-having man can do it for you, why do it on your own? Shit.
I cannot with you on that one. You just got really off into, oh, my God, you were daydreaming about what his hair probably smelled like. See, that's why
probably
I can't with
was.
You.
Probably was. But if he can do all of that for you, why do it for yourself? You know.
Maybe to alleviate some sort of headache.
Probably. That could be it. You know, because we all come with baggage. We all do. But, of course, we tend to put ours away in the closet and expect them to not have any. Not we as females, but we as people.
Well,
we like
yeah,
to put
I
out.
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. We have 3 minutes
oh.
left.
Oh, Lord. We got.
You
just
started me on to another topic. Self pleasure. Since you over there fantasizing, hey Mr. R, if you're listening, self pleasure, yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
Only you. Well, I'm not gonna say only you. You
only
know,
me what?
Not you, but you in general. Like me.
Uh huh.
I know how to pleasure myself. So all the years that me and Mr. R have been together, he knows how to pleasure me too. However, when it gets to a point where I need the pleasure and he's not available because he's at work or he's out or wherever, I need to know how to be able to touch myself to feel good. So yes for me. Yes,
I don't know anything about. I would have to say no for me, maybe because I've never done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know mm-hmm. that if you read anything by me, then you would think that I'm lying, but I never have.
Well, I tell you, don't knock it till you try it. That's all I can say about that. Don't knock it till you try it. You know, at some point, you may. You may, but then again, you may just not be. I mean, it's a personal thing. Like, it goes from person to person. It just depends on the person, what they want and what they need. And, you know, I don't do it often.
That's
like,
a great deal of concentration and effort.
It depends on the toy.
Oh, okay, so you bring toys into the mix, and then you're just like, all right, here we go. Okay,
yeah,
okay,
then let's
it
get it. It depends on the toy.
All right, I get that. And on that brings us to the end of Out the Gate with Pammy Gates. I want to thank everyone for joining in with us today. Me and Miss Desi Baby appreciate everyone who took the time to listen, to call in, and voice their opinion. Until next week,
yes.
Oh, and next week, everybody, Out the Gate will be moving to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, so join me then.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, what a